sports talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike's Subs.
All right, and we're live. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike's Subs, and that's exactly where we are on this Monday, October the 15th. We're actually at the Jersey Mike's Subs on Airport Boulevard out in West Mobile, across the street from Academy Sports and Outdoors. Now, last month, Corey LeBounty joining me right here. Corey joins me every single weekend.
There we go.
But last month, we were at the Jersey Mike's Subs on Dolphin Street and had a great time out there, ate some great subs, and looking to do the exact same thing tonight. I know right after we broadcast, or maybe, heck, even during the broadcast, I'll go grab myself one of these nice subs and start chowing down.
You can go hot or cold, Dalton. You can't beat it. I mean, when you look at Jersey Mike's located across from Academy Sports, you can come in, get you a hot sub, a cold sub. You can get you a wrap. You can get you a salad. Whatever you would like, Jersey Mike's can take care of your needs, a sub above.
And there are other locations. Like I mentioned, we were at the Dolphin Street Jersey Mike's Subs last month. Now, that's across the street from McConnell Automotive. The actual address, 3151 Dolphin Street. Right now, we're at the one on Airport Boulevard, 7449 Airport Boulevard. Come see us tonight. We have tickets to the South Alabama Troy Battle for the Belt rivalry game. First person in here to say hey and mention Sports Night, we'll give you a pair of tickets to that game. And if you're unable to make it to that game, which I think that's the one you want to make it to, but if you can't, you can also use that pair of tickets to any remaining South Alabama home game. And a big win for South Alabama this weekend. We'll get into that a little bit more in depth later. I know, Corey, you were out there at Ladd People Stadium for that win over Alabama State.
A big win for the Jaguars. Like you said, they get back on the winning streak. And come and get your Jag swag along with your pair of tickets to any home game that you would like. Yep. South Alabama has a few home games remaining on their schedule, but nothing like the battle for the belt that's going to go down here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we are giving away the tickets. That's the big stuff. But we also have some foam fingers with the number one hand up. And we got some of these nice South Alabama Jags shirts. It could be yours. Just come on by Jersey Mike's Subs on Airport Boulevard. And if you're across the bay in Baldwin County, don't forget about the Jersey Mike's Subs in Malbus on AL 181. Just with all the Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, all that coming up, and you're still middle of football season, tailgate season, don't forget you can get those boxes and serve everybody at the party.
Perfect. Dalton, that's the way to go. I mean, the catering boxes, you don't have to worry about it. They'll take care of you. Owners Mark and Christina Sinclair do a wonderful job. Just give them a call ahead. They'll have your order ready. All you have to do is just come and pick it up here at one of the Jersey Mike's locations.
All right, well, a crazy weekend in college football. A second crazy weekend in a row after a pretty slow week five. Seems like it was about a year ago. But 2 weeks in a row with eight top 25 teams falling. And we'll get into depth on that college football weekend coming up. But right now, let's check in on some of these headlines from over the weekend. Not necessarily always the biggest headlines, but just some things that have caught my eye that you maybe haven't heard discussed as much on other stations. But this is a story I've been monitoring for a couple weeks now, a scary situation. Back when Tennessee State played Vanderbilt, I believe it was 2 weekends ago at this point, Tennessee State linebacker Christian Abercrombie, remember, he went down during that game against Vanderbilt. And he told the trainers then that he had a headache, ended up collapsing and requiring oxygen, had to go to the hospital there in Nashville for emergency head surgery. We've been monitoring his situation here for the last couple weeks, and it's starting to look pretty good, Corey. He's been upgraded to stable condition. Of course, pretty good being a relative term from where he was just a week and a half ago. Now he has been upgraded to stable condition, actually breathing on his own. That's a statement that Tennessee State released on Sunday. He's actually been off the ventilator now for more than 24 hours. So good news, Christian Abercrombie, the middle, the Tennessee State linebacker, improving his condition.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know our prayers have been with him along with the college football world. Vanderbilt staff was right on top of it and probably saved his life. So here's a young man that I know the college football world has been praying for the last 2 weeks. And as you can see, his condition continued to improve. Our thoughts and prayers continue to be with him and his family.
Also tonight, game three of the National League Conference Series, LA Dodgers and Milwaukee Brewers. They split the first two games of the series. Brewers won game one 6-5 on Friday, and the Dodgers won game two 4-3 on Saturday. So a couple close games, and right now they're in the middle of the second inning. Dodgers are about to be up to bat, but the Brewers with the lead right now 1-0. Looks like Braun hit a double that scored Christian Yelich, and Yelich just having a great postseason to follow up his incredible regular season. So that's a really good matchup to watch tonight, Milwaukee playing the Dodgers. But in the ALCS, another good conference series going on over there. You got the Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros. They also split the first two games. The Sox beat the Astros 7-5 on Sunday night, and the Astros won Game 1 on Saturday 7-2. Game 3 will be in Houston tomorrow afternoon at 4, where you got Eovaldi. He's expected to start a pitcher for Boston, then Dallas Keuchel starting for Houston. So a really good pitcher matchup there. And before that, Game 3 tomorrow night, they'll actually have Game 4 of this Dodgers-Milwaukee series tomorrow night at 8 p.m. So lots going on in baseball, lots going on with NBA season about to start. Maybe we can get into that here at the end of the show if we run out of time talking about college football. Kind of a little preview of the NBA season, because that gets started tomorrow night with a couple fantastic matchups. I can't believe it's already here. At 7 o'clock, the Boston Celtics finally going to have the entire team together. Of course, Gordon Hayward. Was that the first game of the year?
It really was. It was the opening game last year. We had that horrific ankle injury, and he's looking to bounce back. You have a healthy Haywood, a healthy Kyrie Irving. It's going to be interesting to see how good the Celtics can actually be.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that they have a team that can compete against Golden State, because if you look at the odds before the season, Golden State right up there with as good of odds as Alabama midway through the college football season, and NBA hadn't even started. They're saying maybe the best NBA team ever. At least they are on NBA 2K, the video game. Now they've added Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins.
I mean, and when you look at DeMarcus Cousins being an addition to that team, taking the pay cut, you have five NBA All-Stars, so it would be a no-brainer to go ahead and make them the overall favorite to win the World Championship and to defend their NBA World Championship. But I think they're going to get some other competition. Just LeBron moving to L.A. makes the West a little bit more interesting. I think the East is a little bit weaker than the West, but at the same time, NBA season is upon us. College basketball is upon us.
That's
we'll have
right.
Joe Nyland on talking a little college basketball also a little later on. So just plenty of basketball to go around.
Yesterday in the NFL, tough day for a couple former University of Alabama wide receivers. First off, Atlanta Falcons rookie Calvin Ridley, who's just been on fire so far this season. He left in the second quarter yesterday in Atlanta's 34-29 shootout win over Tampa Bay. He didn't return. He did have the MRI today, and from all reports, it looks to be just a bone bruise. And I think that Atlanta plays next Monday night, so he has an extra day rest going in, but he should be good to play next weekend. And then you got Raiders receiver Amari Cooper, who had a pretty rough day as far as NFL Sundays go. First off, before the noon kickoffs, the report starts going around that the Oakland Raiders are actually shopping Amari Cooper. You saw Gruden let go Khalil Mack at the beginning of the year to try to get some return on maybe the best defensive player in the entire league. So they let Khalil Mack go to Chicago, and now possibly shopping Amari Cooper, seeing what kind of draft picks they can get out of that. Clearly, they've got Las Vegas in their mind over in Oakland. They're going to try to rebuild through the draft and get ready that way. But then Amari Cooper gets knocked out. They're playing in Seattle, playing in London against Seattle yesterday. Lose 27-3. But Cooper, he was only in the game until the second quarter. Brutal helmet-to-helmet hit that somehow did not get called. And that looked really, really bad. Hopefully he's going to be all right.
Yeah, you look at Amari Cooper, just was a Pro Bowler in his first couple of years in the NFL, and he did take a vicious shot yesterday from the Seattle Seahawks and knocked him out. And Oakland just really has not necessarily got the investment out of Gruden that they were looking for. He sold the farm and got rid of Khalil Mack, and that's really, to me, hurt the morale of the Raider Nation because in this situation, Oakland's been struggling, lost a couple of close games, but anytime you take away a dynamic pass rusher like Khalil Mack, it's going to hurt you. That's what you have to be able to do in the NFL, is just feast on these quarterbacks, and if you don't have a pass rushing game, you're going to be in trouble.
Tonight in the NFL, I believe they just kicked off, or they're kicking off here in about 5 minutes. Green Bay Packers now 2-2-1 record. They're hosting the 1-4 San Francisco 49ers. Green Bay favored by 9.5. Niners are going to try to break that three-game losing streak that they've had, and Packer trying to bounce back after a loss at Detroit. And just wrapping up the headlines here with some sad news today. Paul Allen, he's the co-founder of Microsoft. Maybe that's how you've heard of him. Maybe you're like me and you know him because he's the owner of the Seahawks and the Portland Trailblazers, even part-time owner of the Seattle Sounders. He helped bring that MLS team to Seattle, so he had a huge hand in the Seattle sporting scene. Paul Allen actually passed away, age of 65. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma recently returned. But when the Seahawks were winning games, and he was somebody thought of as bringing actually the analytics movement to the NFL along a little faster than a lot of others, him being involved in the technology world, pretty big loss. He died today at the age of 65.
Yeah, to be an owner of two different organizations and to get the kind of credit that he had, bringing in the type of players, and just being the kind of owner that the players really wanted to be a part of, it's a tremendous loss for the sports community, and our prayers go out to his family.
And we're about to go into the break here in a minute, so when we come back on the other side, we're going to go straight into college football. Too big of a weekend to not talk about it. We're going to talk about it probably the rest of the show coming up. Eight teams in the top 25 AP top 25 poll lose for the second weekend in a row.
Yeah.
Last week, eight teams lost. This week, eight teams lose. This time, four teams were in the top eight. So we'll go into a little bit more detail in that, give you the new AP top 25, and talk about that. Oof. That Auburn loss to the Tennessee Vols this weekend, 30-24. Is Gus already in trouble after signing that contract? We'll discuss it when we get back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night presented by Jersey Mike's Subs. We're live. Jersey Mike's on Airport Boulevard. Come by. Win some tickets to see South Alabama play Troy. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike Subs, and that's where we are tonight. I'm Dalton Ulrich, Corey LeBounty here as well. Beautiful, beautiful smell of bread cooking in the background. You got all these deli meats stacked up here, people ordering subs, football on over my head. I don't know if this could be a better Monday night right now. We got that San Francisco Green Bay game on here in the background. Should be a good one tonight.
Come get your Jag swag as well, Dalton. I mean, you can get free tickets to the South Alabama football game against Troy if you so choose so. If you would like to see the Battle of the Belt, we have some Jag swag, some T-shirts, as well as some foam fingers for you in the background if you would like to come get that. Just come up to us and say, hey, I'm listening to Sports Night and would love to be a part of the Jaguar Nation.
Now, the Battle for the Belt is always interesting. When you got South Alabama playing Troy, I'm so glad that this is a big rivalry game because I spent time at both schools, spent the first 2 years of my college career, if you want to call it that, at Troy University, then transferred down here to Mobile, been at South, been a big South fan ever since. You can see if you're watching this on Facebook Live right now, I got Periscope, I got the South Alabama hat on. So when they play, my loyalties lie with South Alabama, but I think it got a lot more interesting this weekend because until this Saturday, South Alabama season was looking really, really rough. I didn't know if they'd be able to snap out after losing three games in a row. And Alabama State, we were talking about this on Saturday morning, Corey, before you headed to the game. Alabama State had some real, if you want to use a Saban word, it was a real trap game for South Alabama. Alabama State hasn't been awful this year, but South Alabama came out, really put them in their place. And on the other side, Troy losing to Liberty University, who you see the words Liberty University, you assume that they're a cupcake. They're 3-3 this year, and they've played some tough teams.
Yeah, I didn't see that loss coming for Troy, but they did lose their starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. So anytime you lose your starting quarterback, they're a starter for a reason, and Troy just came across the Liberty Flames and weren't able to come away with a victory. So, again, that takes a little luster off of their season so far. Any given Saturday, anything could happen. But South Alabama winning 45-7 over the Alabama State Hornets really only gave up one big pass play for 75 yards,
yeah,
or they would have shut out the Hornets. So a good offensive explosion. Cephas Johnson, the young man from Davidson High School, throws his first collegiate touchdown. South Alabama was able to rush the football effectively for 185 yards, pass for 211 yards. So it was a big, big win for the Jaguars getting back on the winning track.
Yeah, that 75-yard touchdown from Alabama State, they only had 211 yards the entire game. And I think only one other play that went more than 15 yards. So the South Alabama defense really came to play. And it was good to see after how they showed out against Memphis, Appalachian State. Those were a couple games really, really rough on the South Alabama defense. I'm not worried about the offense. I love what I'm seeing from the South Alabama offense. They're able to move the ball around. The only thing I wish they could do better, and I'm sure they do, is run the ball a little more confidently up the middle of the field. But when you have a creative coach, you can really mask some of those deficiencies, and Campbell has done a really good job of getting the ball to the edges and spreading the ball around to some good receivers.
I mean, you look at Trey Minter had an outstanding game, 12 rushes for 61 yards.
And a punt return touchdown.
And that was one of the biggest ones that I've seen by South Alabama, one of the first ones, I think, in a couple of years.
First since 2010, I think.
Since 2010. So that's in over 8 years that you have your first one taken to the house. So that was big special teams play. They punted the football extremely well. Again, we're very stingy on defense. So the great part about it is, even though that's the only second win for the Jaguars, they still have an opportunity to win the Sun Belt Conference. And it just starts one game at a time. They're going to have to chip away one game at a time, and we'll see what happens.
It'll be tough because I do know that South has some tough games on the schedule, starting with Troy coming up October 23rd. So they'll get this weekend off, kind of. It's a really weird thing when they play on a Tuesday night, because do you really get a bye when you play on Tuesday?
It throws everything off kilter because, again, you're followed up maybe by a short week the following week. So anytime you play those midweek games, you're happy with the revenue and the exposure that you're going to get for your program on ESPN. But at the same time, it really does make things a little bit weird for your schedules.
So Troy lost to Liberty 22-16. Liberty scored, I think, with about 2 minutes on the clock to take that lead and eventually win. Liberty, a team that's going to play the Auburn Tigers here in a few weeks. Auburn, they better watch out. We'll go into more detail here with that Auburn Tigers game against Tennessee. And look who just walked in the door, Corey.
JD.
The one and only James Dennis. And we already have his microphone ready for him. And, James?
So this is how you two hide, huh?
Okay. I thought I let you know last week.
I'm just sitting down at the station waiting. I go, okay, this should be good. But, you know, I can kind of roll with the flow. I'm fine with it.
Perfect timing, because we were just about to go into some of these big losses in the top 25 on Saturday. Eight teams lose in the top 25 for the second week in a row. And let's start from the top here. Maybe the biggest game of the weekend. Going into the weekend, Georgia and LSU in Baton Rouge. It was an afternoon game. You know, the Tigers fans would have appreciated that to be a night game, but in the end,
They're accommodating him this weekend. CBS has moved it from 2:30 to the night. Now, what did it take to swing that one?
It's going to be interesting to see. Death Valley is big time.
I mean, the Alabama game.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. They've accommodated that one, so that's kind of interesting they would do that. So it carries
a lot
of weight down the.
Really appreciates that.
Well, I think he's right in the mix of it. I think he says, let's make it a Saturday night, whatever you want to. It's going to be a romp, I can assure you that.
Georgia end up losing by 20 to LSU, 36-16. Tigers came
ready to
play.
Let's stop there. Let's talk about it. Is it because LSU is so dominant over Georgia at that particular point in that game, or is it because Georgia was not prepared, or that Georgia's mistakes were such, or their entire offensive plan for the game was so far off that they just missed the mark? So let's just talk about it. Did LSU, what do the stats really say?
Okay, well, the stats say that Georgia clearly did not decide to run the ball on LSU the way that the Florida Gators were able to run the ball on LSU.
That's very confusing to me. I don't understand how that occurred when you look at the numbers that Florida did against Georgia. Against LSU.
Yeah, the Bulldogs, I mean, they've been averaging 245 yards rushing per game. They finished this game with only 113, so they still crossed that century mark. But 113, that wasn't going to get it done in Baton Rouge against a top-ranked team like the Tigers.
No.
DeAndre Swift, Swift led all in rushing with 72 yards, and they didn't even get on the board until the third quarter. That's when Holyfield finally scored their first touchdown. I think that was a pretty close plunge into the end zone. I think they had to get right up on the line to score that one. But Joe Burrow, he continues to be the model of consistency. Maybe at this point the second-best quarterback in the SEC.
He looks sharp.
Maybe
set.
Third behind Hurts, if you include him.
Very effective. And I mean, and that's the difference. Yeah. The LSU's missed the last couple of years, that moxie at the quarterback position. And anytime LSU has a threat at the quarterback position, we look back to the 2011 season to where they did have an opportunity to play for the national championship because they had effective quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And if LSU has effective quarterback play, they're a hard team to beat. And you know, they just took it to the Georgia Bulldogs. And you cannot fall behind in Death Valley.
No.
LSU has a great defense also.
Not unless you have an explosive offense, and that's just something that they don't seem to completely have, you know, incorporated this year. But I've got to tell you, this LSU quarterback is growing into those shoes very well. He's becoming a very respected leader of that team, and he's beginning to show he's got some moxie, and he's starting to turn the ball the right way.
Another guy with moxie, guy that trusts Joe Burrow a whole lot, Coach Ed Orgeron. And this might also be as much a story of the game as Georgia not running the ball against LSU. LSU went for four fourth downs. There were five decisions in all that Orgeron had to make. Fourth and short. Four times he went for it. They converted all four of those fourth and shorts. Three of those drives ended up producing 13 points. The one other time, Orgeron called timeout after the offense was out there on the field. He ended up punting the ball, put it on Georgia's four-yard line, resulted in a Jake Fromm interception into a field goal. So even though one of those was a punt, Orgeron 5 for 5 on fourth down decisions. And that tells the story, I think, of the last few years of college football. We're seeing more and more teams in college and NFL go for it on fourth and short, especially around midfield. And some of these coaches that don't, even when the game is starting to get out of hand, you got to wonder, you know, it makes it pretty clear who's a good coach and who isn't in the NCAA, the coaches that trust their teams to go out there and keep drives sustaining.
Corey, don't you see these games that have developed like this? They've developed every season. Every year you get into a game like this where Orgeron goes for four, you know, fourth downs. They yield the kind of points they yield. The luck of the draw is simply this, and yes, it's being seen more, but that'll bite you too. That'll come back to get you, and they'll put points on the board. So I'm going to tell you all the Baton Rouge, and they lined up correctly. It was not a good day for Kirby and the Dogs. I don't want to take anything from LSU's victory, but you see certain decisions made in this game that ultimately take that 13 points off the board, take a couple of the interceptions. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from them, but these games happen. They happen a lot and often, and when they do, it's one of those you shake your head at. Let's see what happens between Georgia. Let's see where they go. Let's see where LSU. They moved up to what, number five?
Yep, yeah. Number five on the AP poll this week.
Yeah.
And that's where
huge.
They were before they dropped down and then back up.
And I think Fromm just made the difference in the game, only being 16 to 34 for 209 yards with two interceptions.
All for points,
I think
too.
That's the difference maker. When Fromm plays well and is calm, they're okay. But anytime anybody's been able to rattle him and get him outside of that pocket and out of his comfort zone, it really makes a difference. But credit to that LSU defense for getting after him.
And the backup Fields, either not on the same level as Tua was last year or as Trevor Lawrence is this season, or Jake Fromm is a good enough quarterback that Kirby Smart feels comfortable clearly leaving him out there when he starts to struggle. Fields came in for a couple plays, but they were plays that
they clearly... Yeah, it's not like Kirby's not been down there a number of times in his life, so he knows the pattern down there.
All right, we're going to run to the break right now. We'll come back, go over some more of these top 25 losses.
And I'll be back.
Talk a little bit of
this
Alabama's
time. This is my
big
hour.
Win. This is your hour now, Charleston
hour.
Lighting.
This is
we're
at
Jersey Mike's Subs on Airport Boulevard. Come by, win some tickets to see the Battle for the Belt coming up on October 23rd. We're coming back. More Sports Night right after this.
Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Jersey Mike Subs.
All right, and FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night rolls on live from Jersey Mike Subs on Airport Boulevard out in West Mobile. If you're looking for us, we're across the street from Academy Sports and Outdoors, and we have some great giveaways, giving away tickets to see the South Alabama versus Troy. Big rivalry game coming up on October 23rd live from Ladd Peoples Stadium. First person to come on up here and say they listen to Sports Night, we got your tickets waiting for you. And if you can't make it to that Battle for the Belt game, these tickets will get you into any remaining South Alabama home game. And their season's looking a lot better after that big win against Alabama State over the weekend. This segment also brought to you by Charleston.
Oh, yes. Gas lanterns if you need them. Light up the sky. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, do the right thing.
James Dennis loves Charleston
yes,
gas lanterns.
Joan Thornton and Summerton, Alabama, who's listening in tonight, wants a pair herself. So,
All right.
I'll just go ahead and give you a set of lanterns. There you got it.
Okay. There you go. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Call or text the show, 251-343-0106, and find us online at SportsNight1065. That's on Facebook and Twitter, and we post the podcast following the show on Monday nights at FMTalk1065.com. Working on getting that up on
iTunes. I think she wants more
iTunes.
Than lanterns.
You think?
I think she wants
more. Uh-oh, James.
I'm kind of thinking she wants more. I'm beginning to believe she wants more.
Well, if she's listening now, I mean, she's got to follow through at this point.
I'm just going ahead and give it. Yeah. There you go.
Pleasure right now to talk to. We have a man on the phone, been the head coach at the University of Mobile, head basketball coach for a very, very long time. Successful head coach, Joe Nyland. We've got him on to talk about a basketball coaching clinic that's coming up. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Good evening.
Joe, thanks for joining us. Again, talk to us about this new Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches that's being formed. It's called the AABC. There's a huge coaching clinic that's going to be held October 27th at the University of South Alabama, and it's open to all basketball coaches, whether you're an AAU coach, whether you're a park and recreation coach, whether you're a middle school, high school, JV, varsity coach. We're just trying to get basketball continue to be embedded into people's minds here along the Gulf Coast. Tell us about it.
Well, it's Corey, thank you very much for having me on. It's a great kickoff clinic for the AABC. It's going to be held good people at South Alabama, Coach Riley, Dr. Ertman. They're going to host the clinic at the Mitchell Center, and it's going to be a great clinic for all coaches. Whether you're a youth coach, a parent coaching, a college coach like myself, high school coach, middle school coach, we got a great lineup, and it's a $25 membership fee to the Coaches Association, and it's a great lineup. We got Ronnie Arrow, the great coach at South Alabama for many, many years. We have Joe Champy, who 25 years was the head women's coach at Auburn, several Final Fours, number of Olympians. We got Sonny Smith, longtime coach at Auburn, Coach Charles Barkley, and those great teams. We're going to have an opportunity to watch Coach Riley, the new coach of South Alabama, and go through as he takes his team through walkthrough at game day. And then Coach Jerry Dunn, who's the coach at Tuskegee, and was a longtime coach at Penn State. So it's going to be a great day. And, you know, we're just trying to get the word out and about that clinic.
And you mentioned about the guest speakers who will be coming and talking at this clinic. Again, this is a statewide association that's just being started. It's the AABC, the Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches. If you don't want to become a member of the association, can you just come to the clinic and just partake and look and see what's going on and learn more about the AABC?
Yes. And you would still, you don't have to be a member to come to the clinic, but you get a free year's membership with the price of the clinic. But you can go on AABCHoops.com and learn more about the association. And we're, you know, baseball coaches have an association, football coaches have an association. And then, of course, the state has the High School Athletic Coaches Association. But this association is open for all levels, not just high school, middle school coaches, but all levels, or just basketball enthusiasts. We're going to have newsletters and going to continue to host clinics and showcases and promote and lift up basketball throughout the state.
Coach, just want to thank you for joining us this evening, and when you're talking about the AABC, the Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches, we want everyone to try to join that and become a member if they can. Come on out to the Mitchell Center October 27th. What time does registration start and how long will it last?
We'll start, it's online, but we'll start probably registration at 7:30. We're going to start open remarks at about 8:15, and then the clinic will start at 8:30.
And again, you'll be able to hear from Ronnie Arrow, Joe Champy, Sonny Smith, all great former coaches, Coach Richie Riley from South Alabama, along with Tuskegee's head coach. So, again, Coach Nyland, thank you very much for all that you do for the game of basketball and the way you're trying to promote it.
Hey, Corey, the other thing is, if you come to the clinic, you'll get a free pass into the South Alabama game, two free passes that afternoon. And if you have a team that's sixth grade and under, those that team would be able to get into that game if you're at the clinic.
So, again, another incentive to come out October 27th to the basketball coaching clinic being held at the USA Mitchell Center. Thank you very much, Coach Nyland.
Thank you, guys.
Great. I can't believe college basketball, NBA basketball, already starting. It's already that time of year where just about every major sport can be on your TV at one time, and this coaching clinic looks to be a really cool thing. Thanks for coming on with us, Coach Nyland. So back to a little bit of football right now in the NFL. Green Bay beating San Francisco 10-7. And it looks like there's been three drives and points put up every single drive. And in baseball, the Brewers still leading 1-0 over the Dodgers. They're in the bottom of the third right now. So we talked a little bit about that Georgia-LSU game. That'll have major consequences, I think, for the remainder of the year.
Notre Dame.
Yep, and that's a
Here
team.
They come.
That's a team that looks like their spot is pretty dang secure as of now in that top four. Notre Dame, they're in the AP top five. They're ranked number four this week.
Let's talk about that, though. That's the money teams. Okay, guys?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, Corey, would you say that's the money teams?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they're
traditional powerhouses, mm-hmm. a national following. When you're setting up when you're getting ready to put in the Alabamas, the Ohio State, the Clemson, and then you throw Notre Dame in the mix, and you got LSU behind.
And you got Michigan and Texas
Michigan, Texas right there with it. You're starting to look at some serious money and the – oh, my gosh, the viewer rating on games like that is going to be tremendous. So mm-hmm. this is money ball now.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in the time of year where this becomes money ball. This is what this is, money ball. They're setting the stage for the big money, and this is what's going on. And Notre Dame, right now, you're like you say, it's theirs to get bumped out of it, but I just don't see them getting bumped out now. I think they're going to be there in the playoff for the first time in a long time. So.
Some of these other losses, West Virginia, huge hit to their playoff chances. They lost to Iowa State 30-14. Now, even though they've got one loss, I don't see them getting in even if they went out, just because that's just a loss you can't have on your record, at least by 16 points.
Have y'all already talked about your team's win already?
Not yet. That's what I want to get into right here next. I was just going to finish running through this. Washington losing to Oregon 30-27. Number 8, Penn State lost at home against Michigan State 21-17. Wisconsin lost at number 12 ranked Michigan 38-13. Miami losing to Virginia 16-13. Colorado no longer undefeated. They lose to USC. And the game we want to talk about here, number 21 ranked Auburn falling at home nonetheless to the Tennessee Vols 30-24. And it was actually a 30-16
game. I called
game.
That one. I called both the Georgia LSU last week. If you go back and look at the tape, I called the LSU win and I called the Tennessee win. You give 2 weeks to prepare for a game like this, and this is not like I hadn't seen Auburn's offense for a long time. So kudos to Tennessee to coming down. It's another one of the Saban coaches that comes into the state, takes away a victory. You see Tennessee finally, Pruitt puts his first big win, would you say,
huge.
On the board?
Oh, yeah,
it was huge for him from a recruiting standpoint. It was huge from him from the standpoint of just the moral, his team's confidence level. So they got a little pep in their step, as one would say, Corey.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Dalton, I didn't give the Volunteers a chance.
No, I didn't either.
To win this game,
as
even
a Volunteers
though
fan.
Auburn is struggling.
I did.
I mean, you
James
look
did.
At the
I
losing.
Did. I gave it to him.
Auburn losing 30-24. I know Auburn had been struggling offensively, but to take the lead, to take the opening drive down the field the way they
did,
over 90 yards, they looked like they were going to go ahead and put that whooping on Tennessee. And then Tennessee found a way, once it was 17-13 and Tennessee came back and scored that touchdown and took the lead, you could kind of see the confidence that the receivers started having and the quarterback. And I know he was a national player of the week for having the outstanding numbers.
Jarrett Garantano.
Garantano.
He won the
numbers.
Battle of the Jarretts on Saturday.
He did. He put work in, and the receivers really did an outstanding job catching the football. But too many turnovers for Auburn, and the lack of a rushing game really hurt.
Yeah,
Smokey came out of the shed.
Is this win on Jeremy Pruitt's record?
Yeah.
On the Auburn Tigers radio show on Wednesday nights, just last week or the week before, Bo Megginson, he was talking about this game, this Auburn-Tennessee game, Auburn having a ton of big recruit names there on the sideline for this.
This hurt them.
It hurt them in recruiting, and it did a lot for Tennessee's recruiting from
here
on out.
Now, let's talk about this. What? Now, where's Auburn this week?
Auburn out of the top 25.
Okay, but I mean, who are they playing?
They're playing Ole Miss this Saturday.
Okay, that's not a gimme game for Auburn.
Not at
now
all.
After
they're,
these last couple of weeks,
they're only 3.5 point
and
favorites.
And then hold on, what do we got the week after next?
Let's see, we got.
No, they have A&M as well at
exactly
home.
Exactly at home. That we're looking at a part of a schedule here now that if Auburn doesn't grab this together and get it together quick, this is looking like an Independence Bowl year.
Yeah.
I mean. It's just looking bad.
They're 1-3 in the SEC.
I know.
The four SEC games they have left, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama, and who else? Do we have Georgia on the schedule?
Yes, you have Georgia and Alabama.
And Alabama.
And then Liberty is the only other remaining non-conference game. They have to win two games to go bowl eligible. They'll need to beat Ole Miss and Liberty to get into a bowl.
And I'm going to tell you this. You know how strongly I support both teams in this state. I've been doing it for years, and I believe this. I'm an Alabama fan, but I support them. But I got to tell you guys, this thing is off the tracks.
Yep.
The Plains. It's off the tracks in a big way, and they've got to turn it around. I just don't see this happening. Something has got to change there quickly.
Lots of Auburn fans looking at that $32 million buyout of that brand shiny new contract. And I want to talk more about Jarrett Stidham when we get back from the break here and then go into depth on this Alabama game. They looked really rough, guys. They only put up 39 points, gave up 10. I don't know if this favorite
really
to win at all. I don't know.
39 points.
We'll talk about it more. Jersey Mike subs live on Airport Boulevard. More FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night on the
way. Best sandwich on airport, I can tell you that.
That's for sure.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
All right, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night rolls on this Monday night. Live from Jersey Mike's Subs on Airport Boulevard. We're in West Mobile across the street from Academy Sports and Outdoors, but if you want some subs, it's in the only location you can hit up. It is the only place where you can win South Alabama versus Troy tickets tonight. But you also got the Jersey Mike subs on Dolphin Street across the street from McConnell Automotive.
Malbus exit.
And in Malbus at exit on AL 181. Exit 38 off I-10.
That's my favorite one, Malbus. Yeah, that's easy on, easy out. Yes, good sandwiches. I recommend everybody go get the, man, their boxes where you're ready for a football game, tailgating. Just call them. Go online, order. I mean, they'll have it ready for you, and it's top shelf stuff, okay?
JerseyMikes.com.
JerseyMikes.com.
And the Jersey Mike's app makes it real easy to order your food. Let's wrap up this Auburn-Tennessee talk here. I think a lot of people.
How do you wrap it up?
I don't know if you can.
How do you unwrap this?
And if, I mean, if they lose to Ole Miss.
This is Humpty Dumpty off the wall here.
If Ta'amu is able to complete some passes like Garantano was this weekend, if Stidham looks as poorly as I think. He's got more pressure on him than just this season going down the drain. That's what I see, because if you put Malik Willis in or if you have Stidham in there and they just run the ball, I think if they had 5 to 10 pass attempts the entire game, I still think Auburn wins this game. But putting the ball in Stidham's hands, he looks like he has the pressure of a man whose entire career is going down the toilet right now. Before the game, we were talking about him being an NFL draft pick. Potentially being an NFL starter one of these days, and his draft stock has plummeted along with the season for the Auburn Tigers. He's trying to make too much happen. Those two interceptions, completely inexcusable, and the fumble that resulted in a touchdown, that was the game.
He looked like Eli Manning.
I mean, it was bad.
Saturday.
If Auburn's going to have success, they're going to have to make the change somewhere down the line. And I think that you have a young guy who's on the bench ready to play for Auburn. You need to pull the trigger, because right now you've already lost a couple of games within the conference. You know you're not going to be playing for a national championship or SEC championship. So go ahead and pull the trigger and make the change so there's no more dissension. And there's no easy wins for Auburn down the line.
You're playing for a spoiler now.
I agree. You're just playing for the spoiler. And that's what you're playing for. Dalton, you know, congratulations to your Tennessee Volunteers. And I know it meant a lot to you for the Tennessee Volunteers to win also.
Well, maybe it's been all the years of losing. Maybe it's me growing up and talking a lot of sports and being a little bit more objective. It didn't feel as good as I thought it would to win that game. And part of that's because, you know, I want Auburn to have a good team. There's nothing better than when Alabama and Auburn are two of them, and they meet up in that very last game of the season. And that could still end up being a good game. Certainly on the hot seat, along with several other coaches. One coach who's not on the hot seat, Nick Saban. They're now nearly 2-1 favorites to win, or 1-2, I should say. You got to win 100 for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Heavy favorites for the college football championship, and they put their lowest point total output of the season, only put up 39, but they still beat the Missouri Tigers 39-10. The biggest story, though, the scare.
Yes.
Yeah.
The best thing that could have happened to the Alabama football team this past week to prepare them for the rest of the season, you know what that was? Simple. Real simple. LSU beating Georgia. If he cannot motivate his team to show them, look, we're going down here to play this team, number five. They just knocked off number two. They just did this. They've done all these things. He's got right where he needs to have his players to get them motivated, to move them into the playoffs and to do the right thing and position himself a national championship run again. I think he did a great job in terms of that. Tua, well, here we go. Everybody's getting knocked up, Dean. Corey, what do you think? Got three pulled up hamstrings. What do we got?
I think Tua will be okay. I don't believe Smith will play this week. Like Coach likes to call him Smitty. And when you have the type of receivers in Jerry Jeudy, three receptions for 147 yards, Henry Ruggs, four for 50, you're able to run the ball with balance. And, you want Tua to be healthy, but I don't think that's going to happen for the remainder of the year. He's going to be a little bit gimpy for the remainder of the year. But kudos to Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say this week in and week out. This young man sacrificed so much to get to where he is right now, and he's going to be ready when his number's called.
And Jalen Hurts, a guy that has certainly not had any trouble the last two seasons beating the Tennessee Vols, and that's who's on Bama's schedule coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm not Nick Saban, but you got to think a whole lot about letting Tua rest. You got that LSU game on the horizon. Tua's banged up. I mean, that wasn't even a contact injury. That was a slide where he, re-jarred that knee. I don't understand why he was in the tent for 19 minutes for just that small little injury.
So they can make sure that Jalen played 18 of that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's part of what I was thinking.
I'm serious. I think it's we're going to leave you in here.
The Alabama ability to limit Missouri to 10 points, three shutout quarters after Drew Locke is a tremendous offensive player for the Missouri Tigers. And Coach Saban said probably the best quarterback they faced or are going to face. Only 70 rushing yards given up by this defense, and I think this week it's going to be without Raekwon Davis, who I think Saban's going to go ahead and sit for a game. And there's no place for throwing punches on the field. I understand
that was
your frustration.
Ugly.
But you just can't allow that to blow over.
No. I'm even shocked. Maybe he didn't see the film. I can't believe he let him back in the game. But I'm sure after he reviewed the film, there wasn't any question about it. He needed to get an attitude adjustment or terms like that. It was embarrassing to the state. It was embarrassing to the university, embarrassing to the other team members there. You do not play football that way. You do not respond. You do not act that way. There is no place for that on the field. Should have been ejected. Good player, but should have been left out. And I'm sure that, there'll be people who disagree with it. But I just don't see that that's the kind of stuff you can allow to happen.
And how about a game ball to Savion Smith starting for Trevon Diggs? And he intercepted the first and last
and
pass
last.
Of the game. Not bad to step in and play pretty well against a good quarterback in Drew Locke. And the one touchdown that Drew Locke threw, which actually made it a 13-10 game. How many seconds was he back there in that pocket? It looked like he was dancing around for about 10 seconds.
I mean, he could have went and got some popcorn if he wanted to, or got some Dreamland ribs or whatever he wanted to get, because he had plenty of time, dog.
How much time do you think on the film Saban spent on that play alone this weekend?
Oh, just telling the guys, we got to get after it. Even if we only rush three, we've got to find a way to get to the quarterback.
When you do that and he's just back there, I'm like you. I was going to order a pizza. Get it delivered, delivery. Of course, it's unbelievable.
So another big week coming up in SEC football. That game.
One other thing about this, before we get away from Alabama. How many times have we seen a seasonal change in the weather, a game that occurs right after we've gotten some drop in temperatures, the next thing you go, you've got hamstrings going on, pull muscles.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. These guys get hot out there. They cool down quicker. And you end up with having that kind of stuff happen on hamstring pulls.
And
it happens
a
lot.
Really quickly, Corey, talk about Irv Smith and what he means to this offense.
He's the difference maker. I mean, he's a blocker, he's a catching tight end. He's definitely an NFL quality type tight end.
Coming up, we got Alabama versus Tennessee this weekend. Alabama, a mere 29.5-point favorite over the Vols. Tulsa playing Arkansas. Arkansas only 5.5-point favorites. Auburn playing at Ole Miss. Auburn a 4.5-point favorite. That number, that's going
to
drop.
I was glad to see Smokey get out of the shed in Auburn. I'm sure he left his mark on a number of trailer tires there.
I'm sure he did. Memphis at Missouri, Mississippi State at LSU. That could be a sneaky one. And Vanderbilt playing at Kentucky. We'll talk about all that and a whole lot more coming up this next Monday night when Sports Night is back on FM Talk 106.5. It's been a great night at Jersey Mike's Subs
time.
On
Corey,
Airport Boulevard. Everyone have a great
week. Glad y'all
week.
Let me know where you were. I was supposed to be in New York, however. That's fair.
Have a great week, everyone.
Love it.